Welcome to the Dynamics Hot Dish, the podcast where Ashley Steiner, Allie Nelson, and Liz McLennan dish up the latest news and insights about Dynamics and the Power Platform. Join us to explore business applications and low-code development with tips, tricks, and real-world experiences. So grab a seat at the table and let's dig in. Welcome, everyone. This is Liz McLennan, again recording from Microsoft Build in Seattle, Washington, and I'm here today with Julia Casper, who is a program manager at Microsoft. So welcome, Julia. Thank you for being here today. How has Microsoft Build been for you so far?
Hi, Liz. Thanks for having me. Oh my goodness, it has been stressful. I just came out of my breakout session. I was not running here, but I was coming right after my breakout session here. It's been fun, but also stressful. You know, when you're preparing a demo, you're like, want to make sure everything is like just going smoothly as you're expected to be, but it went great. So I'm now much more calm and excited to enjoy Build tomorrow.
What was your breakout session about?
So we just released a new feature in Visual Studio that lets developers connect their web API to the Microsoft Power Platform. So we demonstrated how developers can like use it and like what they can do with it. We also talked a little bit about Azure API Management, which is a product I'm working with a bunch of engineers and we are trying to make it better as well. So yeah, we also talked about like where does Azure API Management come in the story, like what you can do with it, also especially in regards of the Microsoft Power Platform. So yeah.
That's exciting. Do you have any other breakout sessions?
No, okay. I mean, it's been fun, but usually I only can concentrate on one topic at a time, You know, so I'm excited. I only have one thing. Tomorrow I have a expert session, so a Q&A.
Okay, but so, that's a little less stressful.
Yeah, it's very chill. People can come, they can ask questions.
It's more like a panel.
Exactly, yeah. So it's more chill.
This is a first conference in a while that I haven't actually had a session at, and so it's nice to be relaxed and not stressed out about prepping a presentation. And demo. Yeah. And I feel like whenever you're demoing live, it's just like something always goes wrong, even though you prepare ahead
of yes.
time.
We had like two laptops, a backup laptop, a backup laptop. So everyone just really wanted to make sure everything is working.
Yeah.
But yeah. Well, how has Build been for you then?
Wonderful. So you're my second interview of the day and the keynote was really exciting. And I'm excited to talk about some of the announcements and just there's so much going on this year and just that stuff that's been announced today with AI and the Copilot, and it's just all really exciting.
Oh, that's good.
So I'm curious to hear, what announcements are you most excited about?
Of course, the own product announcements.
Yeah.
Just because you and the team, you're working so hard on all of this, and Build is kind of the event of the year where everyone is just working towards. So it's like, it's stressful, but it's also very releasing in a way because all of the hard work pays off. I mean, I want to show what the team has been building out, and so I'm very excited about all of these things that we just promoted. Yeah.
Tell me more about your journey, your background, and how you got to be a program manager at Microsoft.
I recently relocated to the United States. So I was born in Germany, very close to Munich. I did my master's and bachelor's there. So I started out in industrial engineering because everyone in Germany is like car companies. So I was like, okay, industrial engineering it is. So yeah, I started out in industrial engineering. I did my first internship at one of the big car companies and I hated it.
Why did you hate it?
It was a lot of cars and I just didn't connect with the topic in general. So I was lucky because the team right next to like where my team was working at, it was IT folks. So every time during like our lunch breaks or coffee breaks, I started to chat with some of the IT folks and they told me about all of the things that they are doing and oh, they are creating this workflow, they are building this out. And it was like very, very interesting for me. So that's when I decided for my master's, I wanted to switch my major and started out in information systems because I just always knew, okay, maybe that's something I'm more interested in. Then I did my master's, and before I finished my master's, I was like, okay, now I'm more into IT, but what are the companies I want to work at? And that's when I did an internship at Microsoft. And yeah, and I ended up with first in Germany as a Microsoft Modern Work Consultant, and then switched over to the product group because I wanted to be closer to products.
Yeah.
Being part of the wheel, the announcements, like all of the excitement there.
What do you do day to day as a program manager?
Oh, I usually explain it, you're a firefighter.
Okay.
And every day in the morning, my fire drills are, I'm looking at my Outlook, I'm looking at Teams, and I'm like, okay, what's the fire drill I have to kind of talk or think about today? It's not always like this. Sometimes it's a little bit more planned and structured, especially after build, because all of your fire drills are hopefully not there anymore. So then you are more working on strategy papers. You're thinking about, okay, now that we released something, where do we want to take the product next? What do we want to do with it? So then it becomes more strategy in a way. But then always coming sometimes back to fire drills about, oh no, this isn't working. Marketing wants something, engineering team wants something, and different org wants something or a different team. So that's kind of, I'm a firefighter at Microsoft.
It sounds like you collaborate with a lot of different teams then too.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. It sounds exciting.
It is. And I think especially the product team I'm working with is, I'm collaborating a lot with the Microsoft Power Platform folks. So a lot of different partner teams across orgs, whereas the product team I'm working in, it's the Microsoft Developer Division. So different teams, different orgs, lots of different meetings. So yeah, lots of collaboration.
If someone asks you for advice that's trying to get a job at Microsoft or get into tech, what advice would you give them?
Don't overthink it, for especially women in tech. Just do it if that's something you're passionate about. I had my struggles. I didn't know if I'm going to fit, if that's going to be the path I wanted to be in, because, you know, it's a lot of tech. It's very male dominated. Mm-hmm. So I was like, no, just don't overthink it. If you like something, just do it and go for it. If it comes to Microsoft, I do really, really appreciate the culture of never stop learning and knowing. So I would encourage everyone to stay curious, never stop learning and knowing in a way. Always ask questions and start thinking more about what's next, maybe from a product perspective, if that's something you wanted to do. But yeah. I think
that's great advice. Yeah, it's very relevant, and things are changing so fast too that I think it makes that ongoing like growth mindset, learning mindset, curiosity even more important than it was before.
I mean, if we look at all of the build sessions, right? Yes. It's AI everywhere. So yeah, definitely never stop learning and knowing. So yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Can I ask you some questions around modern workplace?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Would you be able to provide an overview of just what the Microsoft Modern Workplace solutions are for our listeners?
I come from a consultancy background, so I'm always kind of talking in terms of products or licenses. For me, it's a lot of the products involved in the E5 license ecosystem. So it's the Microsoft Teams, it's the Microsoft Power Platform, it's Office, Outlook, all of the collaboration, the tools that make your daily work better and more effective or more productive in a way.
Are you able to share any specific use cases or examples of how you've seen those products help organizations improve their operations, you know, their processes, things like that?
I mean, if I think about Teams, if I look back at the last 2 years, collaboration definitely changed.
Oh yeah, with the pandemic.
With the pandemic, everything became more digital, so people had to start collaborating in a different way. So using Teams as the platform there, for example, definitely helped a lot of the organizations to help them become either hybrid or like fully remote, especially from a German perspective. I think we definitely were not as digital before the pandemic, so it definitely helped a lot of our customers in Germany as well to make the move towards the cloud, towards cloud-based toolings, collaboration tools as well. If I think about the Power Platform, it's about repetitive tasks. If I think about Power Automate, I use it for a lot of daily repetitive tasks myself. So we have a lot of our GitHub tasks automated that sends me Teams messages or emails. So combining these two tools, right? It's Power Automate. And if I think about Power Apps, for example, it's about quickly building applications But also being able to share this knowledge, because in the past, building application has been always a very, very heavy developer topic. Mm-hmm. So what I like about this tool or about the Power Platform itself, it also enables different folks to start building and being creative in a way. So yeah. That's what I've also seen with a lot of customers, different people starting to build applications, building tools for modern work, for making their life easier.
I love all those examples. I agree. It's nice to see, you know, the low code, no code options now, and it just really broadens the reach of who can build what and work on what. And it's, I'm not a developer, so I appreciate it. And definitely agree, like the pandemic just accelerated the adoption of Teams and working virtually. And it's kind of hard to imagine. I think it would have taken us a lot longer to get to where we are today. It's hard to see the upside of something like that, but I feel like that's one of them.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's going to be interesting now that it's over, how it's going to switch into a more hybrid.
Yeah, I feel like I'm definitely seeing that. Like, my friends are talking about how their jobs are like, yeah, you got to come back into work a few days a week. And they're like, wait, what? Yeah. Like, you told me I would never have to come back in just for like special occasions. So
yeah.
It is shifting back, but everyone I know is pretty resistant to it. People don't like the commutes and they just feel like it's a waste of time. Mm-hmm. And the offices aren't the same. Not everyone's there in the same day, and that culture just isn't there. And if you're all on a Teams meeting, you know, but sitting in at your desk and not in person in the meeting, like, what's the difference?
Yeah.
So
I think it's going to be interesting from a product perspective, what's going to change now that we are seeing a shift back to a hybrid or maybe fully remote. Like, what are we going to do from a product perspective to make this life different, better, more productive in a changed world as well? So yeah.
The Microsoft people I have been having meetings with keep referencing a new Teams. Is there anything you can share about what's coming up new with Teams?
I think it's a lot about plugins.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's going to be exciting how Teams with plugins can excel AI, or how we can bring in AI tools with new Teams. I don't have any specifics,
that's okay.
Unfortunately,
no.
But that's my hinge, what I would say. Keep looking out, like keep hearing or thinking about plugins in the future and how collaborative tools are going to use AI for maybe making the hybrid or remote model better.
Were you at the keynote today?
I was watching it online.
Okay. Yeah. Like, they definitely covered the plugins in GPT. And so it's kind of made me think of that.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
I'm super excited. Yeah. Especially from a developer perspective, building these plugins and what we can do with it in the future. It's going to be interesting from a developer perspective. How can I build this? How can I make my life easier? What are different scenarios that I can do here with? So a lot of good opportunities also for the developer community.
Are there any specific scenarios that come to mind for you when you picture that future?
I think we're going to become more API centered, because that's how we're going to leverage data. Right now, yes, AI can be super powerful, but you need the data to be powerful in a way. And that's where I think APIs are going to be the center of attention, to be the communicator between your data sources and the learning models or AI in general. I think it's going to hopefully becoming a shift towards more API centered.
Okay.
That's just me thinking out loudly here.
Yeah. What are some of the challenges that you think organizations face when they look to implement modern workplace solutions?
Culture.
Yeah.
Yes. Culture, in a way that if you're very resistant for new technology as a organization, as a culture, it's going to be very hard to adopt to new technology. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's the same with developers adopting to low code.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked to a lot of developers about these different integrations, about using these different tools, and depending on their culture or how they see change, how they adapt to change, they are definitely going to do better, not better in a way. So culture is one of these things. You want to be adaptable. So maybe bringing back the always knowing and like always being open to knowing, learning more, is definitely something that will help you as an individual, but also as an organization. If you have this kind of culture in you, then people might not be showing so much resistance about new technology.
Change management and adoption of new technologies is always such a battle, right? Like, the technology is wonderful, but if people aren't willing to use it, it can't actually make a difference. I was talking to the person next to me at the keynote, and he was telling me about how one of his clients chose to build a custom app instead of using Power Apps because the developers want job security, just don't want to adopt the new technology. And so if you don't have that leadership in place to cast the right vision and, I don't know, have that accountability and encourage, motivate their employees to learn and grow and adopt it, you end up spending all this extra time and money on something that you could easily do with a Power App. He also said that this particular developer didn't even use Visual Studio and was still using Notepad. And it's like, wow. But people just don't like, some people just really don't like to change.
I know. So definitely being open to change is something I think, again, from an individual perspective, is also helping you for the future, preparing for the future, making it more fun. I think sometimes showing resistance can be also very tough because you always have to be the resistant here and not change and do anything. But we are definitely also seeing it. I mean, you mentioned the best use case here, a developer not wanting to use like local platform or the Microsoft Power platform, maybe because of branding, maybe because of this assumptions they have.
The other reason why was that this person told me that the app they were building was considered mission critical. And while they had thousands of other Power Apps deployed internally, that this particular process was too important. Like, they just didn't want to risk it. Do you have any thoughts on that?
We see this a lot. I think before you can fully trust something, you need the change in place. So trust comes after change or accepting that change. So I think we are at this phase where a lot of people are working towards the change. They are okay for using it, but it takes a few times for you to fully trust it. And we are at this tipping point where you're like, okay, some people are hopefully already trusting it. Some might not be there yet. We are doing, from a product perspective, we're doing everything to make it more trustful and for people to really see the potential behind it and not see it as a toy. So I hope in the future more people are out there are going to trust it and just go with it and build great solutions and be creative. But I think it's also a process. Trust is a process. We also have to prove ourselves. So it's on both ends, for the customers to be trusting us, for us to also deliver great products. So
That makes sense. If someone's listening and they're someone that's a little bit hesitant maybe to adopt the new technology, do you have any advice or tips on where to go to get started, how to ramp up on it, anything like that?
So we have a Microsoft Power Platform Developer Plan, so you can easily just sign up for it and get your hands dirty. So I like just learning by doing. I always have to try it, test it. So I would definitely recommend starting with the developer plan. They don't have to worry about what they can use. They can use everything unlimited, don't have to worry about licensing or anything. That's definitely a good starting point. And then I would recommend start small. Think about a use case that would make your life easier. It's probably, I guess, going to be around personal workflows that you want to automate, or how you collaborate, or anything. Like, start small, make your life easier in a small step, and then from there grow, build the trust. I definitely see that you need to trust something before you're going to go all it's in there. And then from there, I think we definitely do offer a lot of great features, a lot of product truth. I hope that this journey by starting small will end up into something bigger and greater.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. I think anytime you're trying to change anything, not just with learning, keeping up with the, you know, technology changes, it's easier to take baby steps. Like, if you're trying to change the way you eat or the way you exercise, like, you don't overhaul it overnight and then stick with it. Like, you have to make incremental steps forward. And so I think that's, that makes a lot of sense.
And also it triggers creativity. Like, you start out small, then you think about a use case. Next time you're thinking maybe about a total different scenario, but at the back of your head it's like, oh yeah, I once did that, maybe this will work. So I think just knowing and learning about new technology or testing and trying it, it will in the future help you be more creative about different scenarios as well.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, and I love that you gave the advice to use a real life scenario and just get hands on. So often when I mentor people, like they use Microsoft Learn and they try to read and watch videos, and you know, that's great for like foundational knowledge, but I agree. Like, I really don't think you can fully grasp something until you're hands on yeah. with it. And there's nothing better. You can do a pretend scenario, but there's nothing better than something that's real.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. That's when it really starts, you know, connecting and making sense. And
Yeah.
Great advice.
It's also the interest. If you work on a personal, like, you're something for yourself, in you're invested in it. You're not, it's not just about, oh, I'm going to do this learning tutorial. Yes, that's great. But if it's something you actually want and you need, it's definitely very different then.
Yeah. And it's not like a step-by-step lab where you're just following the directions, but maybe not processing why you're doing something. Yeah. I love that. How are you just feeling about the future of the Power Platform and all the announcements around the AI and the Copilot? How are you feeling about the next few years?
So I love, and that's something what I always love with partnering with the Microsoft Power Platform. They do work as a startup. So any new technology, they are going to jump onto it. They're going to build products with it. They really want to make their product great. So I'm very excited that they also saw the opportunity there with OpenAI and are jumping onto it and building stuff out with it. I think it also shows that they are innovative. They want to stay innovative. They want to make everyone's lives better. I'm super excited what the new work stream with the Power Platform folks is going to look like. And we from the developer division, we are here to support and hopefully create some great scenarios for low-code makers, but also for the developers themselves so they can use it and make it better too.
Is there anything else you want to share with our listeners today, or do you have any questions for me?
What are you excited about the future? You saw all of the build keynotes, you saw a lot of the new announcements. Anything that pops into your mind, into your head?
I think it feels so monumental that it's hard to actually grasp. I think like the immediate future, like it's really cool. I use ChatGPT a lot just for like helping me edit and draft content. But I think just the potential there is just really, like, I'm excited to just get more hands-on with it. Yeah, and I definitely want to dedicate more time to that, because it's like you're busy, you know, doing your day-to-day routines, but I want to like think about how can I use this to really improve my life and help me be more efficient. And I've heard, I don't know if I'm allowed to quote this person because he's not a Microsoft person, but that the CEO of Google said that the AI kind of step progress forward that we've made is equivalent to when humans invented fire.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you think about it from that perspective, it's just like, it's wow, huge. This is huge. Yeah. Like, it's bigger than the internet, it's bigger than the computer, it's bigger than the smartphone. I think it's the biggest thing that we've seen in our generation for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think that for me right now, I'm still processing on what will this look like, especially with exponential growth. In the keynote today, I was really moved by just the overall impact that it can have on like humankind of improving people's health, their just how they're living, and just that impact globally that it could have. And I just had so much hope watching those, I don't know what they're called now, but the student presentations, the competition.
Yeah.
I'll put it in the show notes. So they had three different teams, one from the Americas, one from Kenya, and one from Asia, and they all were using AI in the Microsoft stack to solve a healthcare need. So like one was diagnosing cardiovascular issues. One was translating for like hearing disabled children. And then the other one was like around preventing and treating TB. And so just to watch the technology deployed in such practical, like on the ground healthcare scenarios is just like, wow, like this is just really accessible and could really make a huge immediate impact on people's health and livelihoods.
Yeah. I also, now that you talk about it, I'm also super excited for the educational space.
Yeah.
Like with Copilot in place, it's going to make everything so much more accessible from a learning perspective.
Totally.
So that's also something, like, it's hard to pinpoint the exact things you're excited about, but like in general, the grasp area that you think is going to have a huge impact, a huge benefit of all of these innovations these days. I'm super excited to see what's next in this area as well and how it's going to be impacted.
Yeah, me too. There's a lot to be excited about right now. Yeah.
It's still very vague in a way. I'm not sure how you're feeling about this. As you said, most of us, I even have had so much time to actually get my hands dirty and like try it and test it myself. So I'm excited for it to be done, like as a next step to go out and test it. But that's why it's also vague, because I feel like a lot of the ones who have been watching the keynotes, yes, it's out there, but they don't really know what the entire, like what you can all do with
the full scope
the
of its
full
potential
scope,
yeah,
all
we're
of
just
the
scratching
scenarios.
The surface right
exactly,
now I feel like
yeah.
And yeah, it's just unlike anything we've seen before.
I'm really excited also from like an organization or Microsoft perspective. It feels for, and a lot of especially the more senior like folks have talked about this, they can feel Microsoft being more innovative in a way that they sometimes now it feels like a startup again. They're starting to innovate so much, so many things are changing, which at the same time we talked about change management, a lot of things are changing, so it sometimes can be tricky, but
yeah,
in general it's like a nice space to be in and excited for the future and see what is all out there and what is growing. So
it seems like that. Yeah, everyone that I've interacted with here from Microsoft seems very excited and passionate, and it seems like there's a great culture.
Yeah, no, I'm very excited. Let's hope for the best for sure.
Yeah. Anything else you want to chat about today?
You asked me about how I define like collaboration. What do I see? I'm curious, what is one of the most questions you're hearing from customers, how they want to improve or make their journey more productive?
Yeah, so I actually haven't been on a client, like a customer engagement, in over a year. So I don't really feel like it's not going to be a relevant answer. So I've spent the last year starting a nonprofit. So my nonprofit is called TechFluent. Our listeners have probably heard about it, so I'm sorry if it's a recap for people listening. So we're on year two, and we are focused on reducing income inequality in the US. And so it's a 6-month mentorship and training program on D365. The Power Platform and tech adjacent skills. So they go through 3 months of live virtual custom training, so over 200 hours of training. They get paired with an industry expert, one-on-one mentorship, and then we provide job placement services. So we coach them on their resumes, interview prep, their LinkedIn profiles, networking, and then we connect them to interviews. So we guarantee first round interviews. And our goal is to place people into jobs and to promote diversity in tech. So when I was a hiring manager back when I was a practice director before the pandemic, I realized a few things. First was that there's just not enough people with the skill sets. There was just a lack of talent at the time. It was hard to hire people. And then on top of that, there was a lack of diversity of all kinds. And this is statistically proven, but diversity helps with innovation. And I just think if we have a more diverse industry, that we'll just innovate faster, we'll have a better culture, and it's just something that we need to progress towards. So all of our learners, we had 25 last year, 25 this year, they're all BIPOC, and so we're trying to reach that demographic that doesn't realize that tech can be a career if you don't know how to code or if you don't have a 4-year degree. And so we're really looking at removing those barriers to entry that have traditionally existed in our tech space.
Love it. Yeah.
So it doesn't answer your question at all, but that's what I've been working on.
No, I love it. Maybe on the note of diversity or people getting started in tech, definitely what I wanted to share with the audience out there is, yeah, don't hesitate. Like, everyone can do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what kind of skills you're bringing in. If you have the passion, the interest, just get started step by step. We talked about starting with a small use case. It's the same when learning, start with a small learning proportion or something new you want to learn. And I think everyone can find a fit in the tech industry or can find a fit in tech. And I'm hoping to see more and more, and the community grow more and more diverse. I would love that.
I agree. I think there's a spot for everyone, no matter what your skill set and kind of your personality. You know, you can be a developer. If you're more extroverted, there's definitely, you know, less technical roles. And so there's just so many options. And the career paths, you know, laterally too, are just kind of unlimited on like the different directions you can go. And it's a growing industry. Like, if you have learned these skills, you know, you're in a fairly recession-proof career that is just going to continue to grow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I love that you said that. And I also hear a lot from new people that they look at people like us and they think that we know everything about all of it. And we don't.
No.
And
oh, my goodness.
Everyone has imposter syndrome. Yes. And it's impossible to know everything. And really, the thing that matters is, are you willing and able to learn and figure it out and use the resources available to you and your network to go and figure it out? Because it's also always changing, and what I knew 5 years ago isn't relevant anymore anyway. So it's not like these people that have been doing this for 5, 10, 20 years have this huge leg up on you. Yeah, they've been in the space longer and they have a better network, but they don't. It's all new for them, too.
Yeah.
This is new for everyone kind of right now.
Yeah. And don't be shy to ask questions.
Ask for help.
Yeah, ask for help. That's definitely something. Also, keep in mind, IT or tech, it's so big. Not everybody can know and understand everything. So probably the person sitting across to you doesn't know everything in the area you're talking about. So just ask the question.
There's no dumb question.
There's no dumb question.
Yeah.
That's something I always appreciate about the developer community. It seems very, like, all of them seem very open towards asking these questions. Because especially as a developer, they need to stay. So many things are changing, right?
Yep.
So they are always in a constant mind of learning and, like, knowing more. So I've always felt, like, very open towards this community as well, because I was always able to ask dumb questions, you know, and never once have I heard a person saying, oh, this is a dumb question.
Neither have I.
Probably the same person right next to you didn't know it, and they were just happy you asked the question.
And if you're thinking it, probably someone else is wondering that too.
Yeah. It definitely takes practice and time for you to be able to go and ask these questions. But yeah, definitely an encouraging, don't be shy to ask these questions, you know, so yeah.
Yeah. So I have one final signature question for you, if you're ready for it.
Yes.
Okay. Do you know what a hot dish is?
No.
Okay. So the question is, what is your favorite hot dish? Because our podcast is called Dynamics Hot Dish.
Okay.
And a hot dish is a casserole. So it's the Midwest Minnesotan term for a casserole. Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite casserole?
Pizza.
Does pizza count?
I don't know. The first thing, but as soon as you said hot dish, I was like, pizza.
Yeah, sure. I mean, it's in the oven, right?
It's in I think so.
Okay.
I cannot live without pizza. That's probably, also, I'm starting to get hungry. That's maybe why I said pizza.
I know,
pizza
I am
as well.
Too. Like, I hope there's food at the event after this. I love pizza, but I don't do well with cheese. So I'm in this constant battle of, like, do I eat pizza or not? Because I would eat it, like, every week if it didn't make me feel bad. I eat it too much.
Same.
What's your favorite kind of pizza?
Pepperoni.
Okay, yeah, just super classic. Yeah, how about what kind of crust?
I like the, I'm not sure if I'm saying it right, like the very fluffy Napolitanian, Italian.
Yeah.
It's very, I'm German, so I love bread. I love a very Italian, a lot of dough, lot of bread with it. I'm going to show you a picture.
Okay,
I love
it. I want to see that. I don't know what that's called either, actually.
I think I'm just saying it wrong. A lot of, it's a, yeah.
It sounds really good.
It is.
I'm getting really hungry.
Yeah,
too.
No, we should not have talked about it.
I know. This always happens. People always get hungry when I ask that question. Thanks for sharing that.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it was great talking with you today.
Same. Learned a lot. Thanks for sharing. And I'm super excited about your nonprofit organization.
Thanks.
I love it. I love the idea. I love the vision for it. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in to Dynamics Hot Dish, your go-to podcast for all things Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to follow us on social media for even more insights and updates on the latest trends and best practices in business applications and low-code development. We'll be back soon with another delicious serving of Dynamics and Power Platform goodness. Until then, keep innovating and building great solutions.